Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? You are tuned into WKAR's Current Sports. That's right. I'm your host, Al Martin, on this Thursday, August 3-1, the final day in the month of August for 2017. Hard to believe. This summer has absolutely flown by. Tomorrow we begin a new month, and we inch closer to the start of college football. Can you smell the pigskin in the air? I'm excited about it. I know many of you are. And, of course, this Saturday, the Michigan State football team will get its season underway, welcoming Bowling Green to Spartan Stadium. We'll talk a bit about that matchup. We will also chat about the Saturday afternoon matchup down in Arlington, Texas at AT&T Stadium dining the Florida Gators versus the Michigan Wolverines. A lot of chatter surrounded around that game because of numerous suspensions for the Gators, and the Gators finally revealing who their starting quarterback will be. So we'll talk about that. We will also briefly hit on the finalized trade between the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Boston Celtics. We'll talk some high school football action. We'll remind all of our listeners out there, all of our high school football fans, that due to the Labor Day holiday taking place on Monday, all local high school football games will be played, you guessed it, tonight. No Friday night lights, Thursday night lights. So we will talk high school football with Zach Berridge, WILX-TV 10 sports reporter and anchor. He'll give you a bit of a preview of what to expect tonight. He'll also recap week one of high school football action last week, and he'll bring to you a few players and teams that really turned his head. And finally, thank goodness for it, the Detroit Lions will play their final preseason game tonight on the road out in Buffalo, New York, against the Buffalo Bills. We'll give you a few things to look for. And Conor McGregor had a really, really nice Instagram post giving props to Floyd Money Mayweather. You didn't really believe that they genuinely hated each other, right? I mean, come on. It was all love at the end of the day, and they're fighters. Fighters respect fighters, period. We'll bring that news to you as well. But we have more news to bring to you all, because you know what's next. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. As I just mentioned, we will welcome to Studio West Zach Berridge, WILX-TV 10 sports reporter and anchor, to give us a preview of week two high school football action. A few games of note. Again, Thursday night action, no Friday night action due to the Labor Day holiday. But tonight, you can expect the biggest game, I believe, to be Grand Ledge at DeWitt. These two local powerhouses always make it entertaining when they hit the gridiron. This game, again, will be played at DeWitt, not at the brand new stadium for the Comets. And if you remember what happened last year, it was a 7-point win for the Comets over DeWitt. DeWitt trying to get on the winning track, seeing as though they opened up the year with a loss. You can also catch Portland at Sexton. That should be a fun game as well. Lansing Everett at Lansing Catholic. Mason at Eaton Rapids. Waverly at Eastern. Fowlerville at Charlotte. Pawama Westphalia at Dansville. Langsburg at Fulton. Fowler at Saranac. Messick at Weberville. And we'll have a few more games to bring to you as well. But those are a few games that if you're trying to get out the house and enjoy some high school football action, those are a few games that you can debate upon. All right, keeping it pushing. Got to bring up this story. You know, it seems like every other day I'm announcing more suspensions for the Florida college football team. But number 17, Florida, has named redshirt freshman Felipe Franks the starting quarterback for its season opener against number 11 Michigan. But the Gators also will be without two more players Saturday in Texas. Franks, he will make his first career start. He beat out incumbent starter Luke Del Rio, the son of Oakland Raiders coach Jack Del Rio, and Notre Dame transfer Malik Zaire. Del Rio started 6 games last season before sustaining a season-ending shoulder injury in November. Zaire joined the competition in June and still could see some time in short yardage and goal line situations. Now, earlier Wednesday, Florida indefinitely suspended starting running back Jordan Scarlett and wide receiver Rick Wells. Their suspensions are related to those of 7 other Florida football players, including star receiver Antonio Callaway, for making improper charges on their student IDs at the school bookstore and then selling those items for cash. We'll have more on that in just a moment. The Detroit Lions preseason comes to a close tonight, and the Lions will have their initial 53-man roster set by 4 p.m. on Saturday. The Lions will play the Buffalo Bills on the road, a 7 p.m. kickoff. You can expect to see plenty of Jake Rudock and rookie Brad Kaya at QB for the Lions, especially since Matthew Stafford just signed the richest contract in the NFL to be the Detroit Lions starting quarterback. All right, the only other time Justin Verlander pitched a hitter-friendly Coors Field, he threw a complete game. The veteran right-hander, he offered the complete package on Wednesday as the Tigers took to the rubber match from the Rockies with a 6-2 win that JV had extra reason to relish. The former American League Most Valuable Player, AL Cy Young Award winner, AL Rookie of the Year, and 6-time All-Star not only secured his 183rd big league victory, he also got off a career-long RBI schneid on Wednesday as he plated a run for the first time in 13 big league seasons. The Tigers come home Friday to host Cleveland in a split twin bill. The first game will take place at 1:10 p.m. Matthew Boyd climbs the hill for the opening game. He pitched economically in his last outing, but fell prey to a 5-run frame that earned him the loss, allowing 5 total runs on 7 hits and a walk while striking out 7 over 6. Get ready for high-speed internet at Little Caesars Arena and the District Detroit. Olympia Entertainment says residents, visitors, and businesses will have access to so much bandwidth, it could serve all of Southeast Michigan. That means that fans who attend Detroit Red Wings and Detroit Pistons games, concert goers, restaurant patrons, and any visitors to the new arena and surrounding areas will have access to an abundance of high-speed bandwidth Wi-Fi, allowing them to stream audio, video, surf the net, post photos, and more. In total, there will be 1,000 Wi-Fi access points installed throughout the arena and the District Detroit. Isaac, do you like this idea? Because, you know, so often as I'm watching a sporting event, I love to people watch on screen, and I'm watching the crowd, and so many people are glued to their telephones, not even watching the action on the court or on the field. And now with, you know, the District Detroit and LCA offering this much Wi-Fi, oh, boy, this may be a problem, man. Will people even watch the games? They may even stream it while at the game.
Come I know it. I mean, you know, a good rule of thumb, I think, and I just thought this up, but it is something I try to abide by. If you're paying money for something, don't be on your phone. Do what you're paying money to do and watch the game or do whatever else. But if I'm at dinner, I'm not on my phone. If I'm watching a game, I'm not on my phone. Come on, y'all.
Yeah, but you know, people love to show off, man. You want to take a selfie while at the game. You want to Snapchat while at the game. And I tell you what, some folks, it's amazing to me. The last Detroit Pistons game I went to, I just looked around. And, of course, I posted a few photos from the game, right? But other than that, when the game is on, my phone's in my pocket.
Exactly.
I'm locked into the action. I look around, and people are not even paying attention. Just locked into their Snapchat, Instagram, Twitter pages. It's pretty funny.
I know you're a big movie guy. I never saw this movie, but I remember a preview where this guy was at a Boston Red Sox game.
Yeah.
And he had his phone open, and the ball hits his laptop open. The ball plops right into his laptop and breaks it, but it's some romantic comedy. I never saw it. It was a preview.
I'm not big into movies, but I'm not big into romantic comedies.
I figured as much. Just loving hip-hop.
But pay attention. That's dangerous, especially at a baseball game as well. Man.
I know.
But that's a lot of Wi-Fi. All right. World champions Clarissa Shields and Andre Durrell are hosting a back-to-school giveaway at noon this Saturday at Flint's legendary Burston Fieldhouse while supplies last. Now, Shields is the current IBF and WBC female super middleweight champ, while Durrell holds the IBF World Super Middleweight title. Now, Durrell is also a 2004 Olympic bronze medalist, and Shields captured back-to-back Olympic gold medals in 2012 and 2016. Now, this won't be the first time that the Flintstone boxers have contributed to the community. Both Shields and Durrell also hosted a Turkey Day giveaway on November 22nd, 2016, fresh off of Shields' pro debut out in Las Vegas. Gotta love that. Andre and Clarissa always do a great job of giving back to the community. That is a very cool event. Again, back to school giveaway noon on Saturday at Flint's legendary Burston Fieldhouse. All right, with a few days of perspective to digest his 10th round TKO loss to Floyd Mayweather last Saturday in their boxing pay-per-view match in Las Vegas, UFC champ Conor McGregor went public with his thoughts. McGregor posted a lengthy message on Thursday, on his Instagram account, where he broke down what went wrong in his pro boxing debut, which featured the 40-year-old Mayweather stopping the exhausted Irishman on his feet when referee Robert Byrd jumped in to prevent further punishment. Now, just to read a snippet from that Instagram post, quote, "Congrats to Floyd on a well-fought match, very experienced and methodical in his work. I wish him well in retirement. He is a heck of a boxer. His experience, his patience, and his endurance won him this fight hands down. I always told him he was not a fighter, but a boxer. But sharing the ring with him, he's certainly a solid fighter. Strong in the clinch, great understanding of frames and head position. He has some very strong tools he could bring into an MMA game for sure. Here is a toast of whiskey to everyone involved in this event and everyone who enjoyed it. Thank you to you all. On to the next one," end quote. Wasn't that sweet, Isaac? That's a sweet post, man. They didn't really dislike each other. There's a mutual respect that all fighters have to be able to get into the ring with another man who is trying to pummel you. There has to be a mutual respect.
I couldn't agree more. You look that guy in the eyes and there's nothing but respect, especially with these two. They were drumming it up from the start. They were over exaggerating it totally. So, no, thank you for the $100 million. On to the next one.
Yeah, man. I tell you, Conor is one rich brother now, if he wasn't already. All right, with a Thursday morning deadline looming, the Boston Celtics agreed to send the Cleveland Cavaliers a 2020 second round draft pick via the Miami Heat to acquire four-time All-Star guard Kyrie Irving and complete the blockbuster trade today. The Celtics resisted the Cavaliers' desire for a first round pick to compensate the Cavs' reluctance to sign off on Isaiah Thomas's hip injury, and the Cleveland Cavaliers finally agreed to consummate the deal late last night. Irving is scheduled to be introduced at a news conference in Boston on Friday. Those are your current sports quick hit headliners. Call in to be a part of the show. 517-355-WKAR 517-355-WKAR 9527. Go to facebook.com/currentsports and tweet us at Al Martin WKAR or at WKAR underscore sports.
First question, what is the deal with your dad?
My dad is definitely, you know, different.
I'm damn near a superhero. All I need is a cake.
Can we go to the next question?
He just said, I don't know what we're going to do, but we're going to do something. And I thought he was crazy.
I got a new job.
You think you know me.
Time to get up, boss.
You think you know my family.
Oh, shoot. That boy naked off.
Nah, you try to sock me, bro. That's how you get hurt.
Okay.
You have no idea. My three boys are the best ball players I've ever seen in my entire life.
Our boys are special.
You're a superstar for a reason.
My dad's master plan is to get all three of us on the Lakers.
Three from the same daddy and they're all superstars? It's unbelievable.
Hey, you got a girlfriend, huh?
No.
I heard she clipped you.
No.
Makeup? I haven't seen that much since prom.
This is a really big year for Zoe and I's relationship.
I think the relationship will be the same.
Do you not trust me?
You gotta watch what you say, wild boy.
Hey, watch out, watch out.
We're not even dealing with that. Until you learn to be like your brother, you'll be sorry as hell.
Welcome to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, and what you just heard was a snippet from Ball in the Family. This is mind-blowing to me, Isaac, how LeVar Ball has really, in a way, you got to respect the dude because he has finessed his way into a lot of money. You know, now, don't get me wrong. I think that Lonzo, of course, he's a first-round NBA draft pick. He's a lottery pick. He's a top-five pick, for goodness sake. He's heading to the L.A. Lakers. But there's no way that Lonzo and his family would have signed off on a reality television deal if it was not for LeVar Ball. He is that kind of a personality. He kind of reminds me of like a WWE fighter. He's just loud. Don't really believe anything he's saying. He's just kind of putting on the show. And that kind of personality has led to a media firestorm and a fan base that is quite intrigued when it comes to the Ball family. Ball in the Family is a reality show that is centered on, that's right, the Ball family. LeVar and his three sons, along with their wife, along with Lonzo's wife, I should say. LeVar's wife, excuse me. And, you know, it's so interesting when looking at it. I'm like, man, I mean, this has become such a story of just, I just kind of scratch my head and say, how did this happen? How did we get here? You know what I mean? I think it's a combination with many big media outlets out there giving the Balls a platform to do so, specifically when it comes to LeVar. I mean, LeVar has just, I mean, I saw him on ESPN. I saw him on Fox. You know, he's doing these different hits with TMZ. I mean, the dude is everywhere. Then the shoes come out, right? And the Lonzo Ball shoes are just a ridiculous price, $500. And then, you know, you look at the flip-flops, which are $300. And if you want an autographed pair of Lonzo Ball shoes, those are almost $1,000. It's crazy to me. And now there's so much pressure, Isaac, on Lonzo to go out there with the LA Lakers and to perform. I mean, what's your reaction hearing that the Balls now have a reality show, dude? Is this what we've come to now? And will you watch? And will you watch? You probably won't watch, right?
No, you probably couldn't hear what I was just saying. My hands were literally covering up my face. I cannot believe we've gotten to this point as society. I mean, in all seriousness, I have no respect for LeVar Ball. He does a lot of good work in terms of promotions, but this isn't something that I like to entertain because this is a man who's making money off of his sons. Mm. Exploiting, I would go so far as to say, his sons. I think he's somebody who failed more or less earlier in life. He didn't play well or play much at all for Washington State. Went on and saw that his kids were pretty good at basketball. LaVar then took advantage of LaMelo, Lonzo, LiAngelo, and now suddenly it's this whole charade. He's got his own reality TV show. I said from the get-go, I wouldn't use the term to describe a marketing genius, not whatsoever, but effective idiot. That's why I'd call him, and I still brand him that way. I'm not a big LaVar fan, as you know, but there's no doubt he's gotten his family into the spotlight. There's no denying that
anymore. I got to respect that. And at the end of the day, I have to respect it, even though I'm not a big LaVar Ball guy either. I mean, I think his personality is totally outlandish, and I do think he's exploited his three sons, for sure. But the fact that they just signed a contract, it's going to be produced by Bunham and Murray Productions, which is the same group behind some of your favorite shows out there, right? Keeping Up with the Kardashians and even The Real World. So this is the same production company that has produced those shows. And, you know, it's going to follow the family, you know, LaVar, L.A. Lakers rookie Lonzo, prep sensation LaMelo, UCLA freshman LiAngelo, and even Tina Ball, the wife and mother of the clan, will be featured throughout the show as well. It looks as though it's going to be released tomorrow, actually today, through Facebook, and additional episodes will begin airing on September 10th. But you got to respect the dude's hustle. I mean, this dude has, kind of like Conor McGregor, he has talked his way into, you know, this contract. They would get paid for this reality show, Isaac. This is money in their pocket. He has talked his way into garnering attention, whether you agree with that attention or not, for his family, and that has led to direct financial success. I saw Jay-Z buy a pair of Lonzo Ball shoes, which is totally mind-boggling to me that when you look at the price for his shoes, $495 for the shoes, $300 flip-flops, and if you want the autographed pair of Zo2s, those things are almost $1,000. Then you got people like Jay-Z supporting it. It is quite amazing because right now LaVar Ball is playing the game away from the game. And there's a part of me that says, I see you, dude, and I respect it.
I would not change my statement whatsoever.
Love it or hate it, man.
He's effective.
I don't like him.
I'm not denying his effectiveness. I'm not whatsoever. The guy is very good at getting his name out there. At the same time, though, I think you've got to have moral boundaries as a father, as a man, as somebody who's with basketball.
Right.
I don't think he has
any. I hear you, Isaac, especially the what went down in the AAU tournament with the female referee. I thought that LaVar totally was out of line. And, you know, you talk about, you know, you relate that situation to what happened with Christine Leahy on Fox Sports, where he says, stay in your lane. I basically heard, stay in the kitchen. I mean, how LaVar publicly has treated women in sports is totally morally wrong, in my opinion. But again, society loves drama. You know, society loves, you know, interesting personalities, and he is feeding off of that like a leech right now. And it's working, and it is leading to dollars in his pocket. It is amazing. It's so amazing on so many philosophical levels here. You know, just studying the psychology of how this is transpired is quite amazing to me. So I'm curious just to see how long this lasts, and probably the biggest question of all, how this will affect, if at all, the play of Lonzo Ball, with him being the second overall pick to the Los Angeles Lakers. He now has a huge target on his back. Would you say that Lonzo Ball has a bigger target on his back now with all of this crazy attention started by his father than what LeBron James had to deal with coming into the league as a
coming
high school?
Coming into the league,
you would say that Lonzo Ball has more attention on him right now.
Yeah, I think
would say
everybody
so
wants to beat Lonzo, because when LeBron was coming into the league, maybe some superstars weren't so crazy about him stealing away their limelight or anything like that. But with Lonzo, LeVar has directly gone after superstars such as LeBron,
right,
and criticized his fathering technique and whatnot. I mean, boy, if I was LeBron, game one, I'm going to the post. I'm backing down.
You're trying to dunk on him, right?
Backing down further. Backing down further. Turning around and slamming on that kid's head. And it's unfortunate because Lonzo did nothing.
He didn't. Neither, that's the thing, though. And you know what?
It's the transitive property, you know?
Yeah, I've heard that same opinion from a lot of people, and I totally agree with it. I think that Lonzo has so much attention on him now that other players out there are going to get a bit jealous of the attention that he's gotten when he's not even played one NBA game yet. They're going to go at him. He has a target on his back. There are going to be players out there that are just going to want to embarrass him just because he is Lonzo Ball.
Well, and the question I'll ask you is, do you like LaMelo Ball? Are you a fan of LaMelo?
LaMelo?
Yeah.
I haven't really seen, I mean, I've seen, you know, some of his games in high school, and I think he's a very talented kid. I got to see how he plays at the next level, though, in college.
Because the thing is, that's way too much attention. I think he'll possibly, not definitely, but possibly be spoiled by all this early attention. You saw him going up against the Compton All-Stars AAU team, shoot 2 for 31, just because everybody wanted to stop him.
And I got to say this as well, because this has been on my heart as well when discussing the whole LeVar Ball situation. Love him or hate him, I'm not a big fan of him, but I will respect this. I saw a piece done by ESPN not too long ago, and when you take into account, I mean, how many athletes have we covered, Isaac, that come from backgrounds where they don't have a mother and father in the house? How many African-American athletes have we covered like that, that don't even know who their father is, right? I've come into contact with that countless times. I'm from the west side of Detroit. I know so many homies of mine. A best friend of mine by the name of Marcel, he grew up without a mother and a father. They were strung out on drugs. I mean, so many crazy backgrounds when it comes to the African-American household and how it's broken today. LeVar Ball, by all stretches of what I've seen, has been a pretty good father to these young pups.
He's been around for his kids.
He has been around.
And I'll say that.
He has instilled discipline in them. Lonzo seems to be a great kid. They all three seem to be great kids. They come off very respectable. I got to give them props with that. Let's go to Apache right now, one line one. Apache, what's up, my man?
How you doing, man?
I'm doing well. What's on your mind?
Hey, the ball thing, man. Magic said right up front, right away, he said he's the face of the franchise, and I mean that's pressure too, you know. So as far as dad putting pressure on, well, Magic played into it too. I think he's going to be the greatest passer the NBA ever seen, whether he scores a layup or not. He reminds me of Larry Bird.
Those are big words, Apache.
I honestly believe that he is a passer, man.
You think that Lonzo Ball is going to be the greatest passer the league has ever seen?
I'm guessing at that. You know,
okay.
I don't have no credentials, but I'm guessing at that.
Okay. All right. Big words, man.
I enjoy the way he plays the game. I mean, he ain't about the points. He can score some points. He ain't about it. And he do have an ugly shot. It is ugly, man. You know?
It is ugly. It's really ugly, yeah.
He got some nice moves to the basket, but he got some nice chicken wings. But I tell you what, that shot is ugly. It's ugly to look at, man. But Reggie Miller had an ugly shot, too. You know?
Right. Right.
But anyway, as far as his dad is using him, yeah, his dad is using him. It could be his dad, or it could be some graduate from Harvard or some other Ivy League school. You know, keep that money at home, man. Mm-hmm. And he may be a bust, but it ain't because his dad making money off him, you know. He may be a bust, and guess what? He's rich, mm-hmm. You know, very rich. So I can see the upside of that, but it ain't so much that that his dad is an idiot. Maybe the idiot is the public, you know, like the people that pay for that fight. You know what I'm saying? That's artistry in motion, man. You know, I mean, that was a con game.
Yeah,
and
I didn't even
see the fight because I had a tendency. Yeah, I had a tendency to believe that's what it was, man.
I agree with you, Apache. Yeah, and you know, yeah, you look at it, and like I said, I mean, LeVar is just playing the game here. He is playing the game, and people are feeding so much into it. They have a reality TV contract with one of the biggest producers in reality TV in the Bunham and Murray Productions. You know, they've done Keeping Up with the Kardashians, which is the biggest reality show out there. They're going to be making money off of just living their lives on television. That would not have happened, Apache, if it was not for LeVar Ball.
Yeah, I agree. I agree, man. The other thing is, man, on your opening, I love it. They talk about the dog and the pussycats, meow, and you got to be a dog. Is that high school coach?
No, that's a college football coach.
Mike Gundy? Is that Oklahoma State?
I think it is Mike Gundy. Yeah,
I love that, man. That's beautiful. That's a cool introduction, man. You got to have some dog in you.
You like that?
About how good I look and all that. That's true. That is so true, man.
For sure,
brother's
man.
Brother's putting Vaseline on the kneecaps to hide the ash. You know.
Hey, only dogs on Current Sports. All right, Apachu.
Yeah,
only the strong on this show, man. All right.
Yeah. All right, man. Take care,
Apachu. Thank you so much. Before we hit our first break, Isaac, I want to talk about the Michigan and Florida college football game that will be underway this Saturday afternoon. The Gators and Wolverines is one of the most talked about opening games of the college football season for numerous reasons. I mean, the cat and mouse game that both gyms are playing right now, and Jim McElwain and Jim Harbaugh not releasing information as it pertains to both schools' quarterbacks. Jim Harbaugh, we mentioned this on yesterday's show, he released a roster. And actually, when it came out, I didn't give it a really thorough look until after the show, and the roster included players like Taco Charlton, Jake Butt, players who are no longer with the program who have gone on now to try and test the waters of the National Football League. Really, the only reason that Jim Harbaugh released any kind of roster was because of the Freedom of Information Act request that a media outlet put out there because they were putting together a story. It was an old roster still with old names on it. Jim McElwain finally came out and announced that redshirt freshie Felipe Franks will be the starting quarterback for that season opener down in Jerry World on Saturday. Felipe beat out Notre Dame transfer Malik Zaire, as well as Luke Del Rio, the son of Oakland Raiders coach Jack Del Rio, both seniors being beat out by this redshirt freshman in Felipe Franks. Looking at Felipe Franks and doing some reading this morning on him, he's very, very athletic, and he's a pro-style quarterback. I'm curious to see how he deals with this opener on Saturday. And, a lot of people are debating whether or not Felipe Franks should get the start. And I think that at the end of the day, when Jim McElwain looked at this, he saw two seniors and a redshirt freshman who are so competitive throughout preseason training camp. They were all so close and in the heat of the battle for this starting job that I think that Jim just kind of looked at it and said, you know what? I got two seniors here and I got a redshirt freshman who is hanging with these seniors and going tit for tat with them. This dude could be the future of Florida Gators football. Let's go with him to start. You know, you look at Jack Del Rio and Malik Zaire. These are two seniors. We've ideally seen them hit their respective ceilings. Put Felipe in, and if he plays well in this game, you got something for the future of your Gators team. We'll see what happens in this matchup. But, you know, this cat-and-mouse game between, you know, Jim Harbaugh and Jim McElwain, I mean, both coaches throughout their first 2 years as the head of their programs, you know, 19 wins for McElwain, 20 wins for Jim Harbaugh. I think they're both outstanding coaches. You know what? I may just give McElwain, Isaac, the extra win, you know, the 20 win, because if you remember what happened, they decided to, it was the Presbyterian situation. When it came to Florida, they were scheduled to, I believe, play LSU, right? But the hurricane came through.
Yes, it was, yeah.
The hurricane came through and they had to forfeit it, right? That would have been, you know, well, I believe they had to forfeit either the Presbyterian game or the LSU game. Was it the Presbyterian game?
The LSU game was at least moved. I'm not sure if that was just canceled
right altogether
or if it was moved to Death Valley. We'll have to look that up. But
that could have been win number 20.
Presbyterian would have been easy win, of course.
Right, exactly. That would have been win number 20, right? So, they have this ideally the same amount of wins in the last two seasons here. These are two great coaches. And it's interesting now because Florida will not have 10 players on Saturday. I mean, who are they going to play? 10 players? That is a bulk of your roster that will not be available for the opening game against Michigan, a game that could have end-of-the-season implications. Jim McElwain, I think, is a great coach, But when you're without wide receiver Antonio Callaway, when you're without starting running back Jordan Scarlett, wide receiver Rick Wells, that is going to hurt your team. And I do believe that if Florida loses in this game, Isaac, I think the committee are going to look back. If they're competitive but lose, the committee has to look back at that game and say, well, we have to take into account that 10 players were not available for Florida. If I think Jim McElwain is in kind of a win-win situation here.
Really?
If you're competitive. If Florida is competitive and close in this game, I think it's going to be kind of looked at as a win. If they lose this game pretty handedly, I mean, I think that then you can make the argument, all right, well, Florida has a long way to go here. And if they win it, you know, oh, my goodness, that's going to make Michigan look really bad because you couldn't beat a team that didn't have 10 players. And, you know, if Florida comes out with that dub, watch out for Florida this season because, again, they will get those players back as the season rolls along. Right now, I think the most pressure right now is on Jim Harbaugh. Jim Harbaugh has so much pressure coming into this game. You know, Jim McElwain has won his division. You know what I mean? He's done it twice. Jim Harbaugh has not even done it once here. You know what I mean?
SEC East we're talking about, worth noting.
Exactly, but still, he's won a division here. He's won a division championship. Jim Harbaugh has not done it, even though he's playing in a pretty competitive Big Ten division, without a doubt, that encompasses Ohio State. However, he doesn't have a division championship here. There's so much turnover from this Michigan team. There's going to be a lot of young players who have a lot of stars at the end of the day stepping into new roles for them. I think the pressure lies more so on Jim Harbaugh in this game because if you lose to a Florida team that does not have 10 players, that looks bad, no matter how, which way, shape, or form you cut it.
It's worse for Michigan if they lose this season, but this is worse for the Gators, let's not mistake it, in the long run. One thing that often cuts off coaches' successful tenures otherwise, off-the-field issues. If this is indicative of things to come, I'm not saying it is. Maybe it's just an unfortunate coming together of all sorts of different players making indiscretions. But if this is indicative of things to come, this will be a blight on McElwain's career at Florida, and this could keep him behind because the thing about schools like Florida, like LSU, like Auburn, you are the topic of comparison. You are not going for a good season. You are not going for the number 17th overall ranking as Florida is right now. You're going for Alabama. And Florida, if they cannot keep it in check, if they cannot compete with Saban, no, I mean, McElwain's job is on the line, and he hasn't necessarily built up. I'm not saying that yet. I'm saying 2 years down the road. But he has not built up the name just yet as Jim Harbaugh has.
And which is so ridiculous to me. I'm so tired of the Jim Harbaugh fest. You know, love.
I'm not saying it's fair.
What has Jim Harbaugh won? I love Jim Harbaugh, and I think he's doing a remarkable job at U of M. But the dude has not won a championship yet. You know what I mean? They haven't competed in the college football playoff just yet. They have not done anything on their resume yet when it comes to big notoriety games. This is a big year for Jim Harbaugh. I think he's got a shot at getting the job done, but there's so much turnover here. I'm just saying, Michigan needs this win more than Florida because I think the leash, well, it depends on how you look at it. I mean, and I feel like at Michigan, if you're a Michigan fan, Jim Harbaugh can do no wrong. However, if you lose this game, against a team that has 10 players suspended, against a redshirt freshman quarterback,
against a team you slaughtered 2 years ago as well.
Exactly. Like, come on, man. You got to win this. What are your thoughts on it, though? It's intriguing on multiple levels. I can't wait, you know, to cover the Michigan State and Bowling Green game at Spartan Stadium. I will be running to my television editing our post-game report while watching that game. But I'm looking forward to this Saturday. Going to be an entertaining day for sure from start to finish. It's hit our first break. When we come back, we will talk with Zach Berich, WILX TV 10 sports reporter and anchor. He will preview tonight's week 2 slates of local high school football action. That and more. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Week 2 of local high school football action will get underway tonight because tomorrow, no games. It is the kickoff of the Labor Day holiday weekend. So, local high schools will get underway tonight. Thursday night football, Thursday night lights instead of Friday night lights. And every single week throughout the high school football season, we will be inviting Zach Berich, WILX TV 10 sports reporter and anchor. He is the co-host of the Sports Blitz, which you can see on TV 10, usually each and every Friday night around 11:15 p.m. But of course, with these first 2 weeks being a bit odd, opening up the high school football season, last week, actually, the Sports Blitz aired on Thursday and Friday night, and the Sports Blitz will air for episode 3 for this new season tonight. So we actually invited Zach to Studio S around the 12:30 mark today because, of course, he's prepping for the show as of right now. And we pre-recorded a conversation with Zach to kind of preview tonight's action. A full slate of entertaining games. Isaac Constance and myself, we will be at DeWitt High School to catch Grand Ledge at DeWitt. That should be a fun game. These two local powerhouses go at it, and they're always fun to watch. But, you know, I started the conversation with Zach by asking him, first off, when evaluating how week one panned out, a few surprising outcomes here and there, but some very impressive performances from multiple local teams. I asked Zach if he had to choose a player or players of the week or a team of the week, and team of the week, who would they be and why? And here's what his response was.
As far as player, I really liked it's hard to see because most people weren't up there because it's half a world away up in Gaylord. But I liked Sexton with a 34-0 win over Gaylord. And, yeah. And I actually spoke with Coach Dan Bogan a few days ago. And I said, what kind of team is Gaylord? He said, they're going to win 4, 5, 6 games this year. So that's not a bad win. You know, it's not like they're playing some terrible school. At least that's according to him. And they have a number of injuries too, Sexton does, including to Cody Blankenberg. I don't even think he played in that game because he has, I believe, an ankle injury. But they are expecting him back tonight when they host Portland. So okay. I like Sexton for a team. I mean, you know, we talked about Grand Ledge too last night with a big one over Hudsonville. Hudsonville might even be having a down year. Who knows? But it's a West Michigan team that is a perennial power. Mm-hmm. And Grand Ledge, with their now senior quarterback, Nolan Bird, they're going to be a force this year. I know you only asked for one, but I like them. And you got to like Okemos too, Blank and Mason, a kind of a crosstown rivalry there.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that had to be real. I mean, that was, what, a 46-0 shutout win?
And it was, you know, it could have been a lot more had the running clock rule not come into effect too, because that happened early on in the second half. And speaking of Okemos, and we kind of touched on this before we got on, is you got to like what you saw from Dom Clerkley from Okemos as far as if you're going to give a player award.
He was amazing. Yeah. I heard that he caught, he received, he ran.
He does everything, man.
He does everything. He's a Mr. Do-It-All,
and,
right?
And if it's true from last year, he was a defensive back as well. So I think he goes both ways. Almost positive he was a quarterback at times too last year. I don't think they need him this year because they've got some guys with strong arms and who can play that position, which allows him to be more of a flanker or whatever they want.
Right.
He's talented. He's fun to watch for sure.
I want to kick this idea around to you, Zach, because I've heard it discussed a few times in local barbershops here where I get my dues, right? But I want to ask you, Zach, when you look at high school football here in Michigan, and of course the magic number is 6, right? If you get 6 wins, you're eligible automatically for the postseason. Should those beginning non-conference games count toward you getting that magical number 6? You know, because I've heard that kicked around saying, you know, okay, it's the first game of the year. You know, you're playing non-conference. You know, the competition varies depending on who that opposition is. And a lot of people don't believe that game should count towards that. What do you say to those?
Well, I don't think I have the right answer, but there should be a reward for playing better competition. It should have some sort of strength of schedule effect, and I think that's kind of where you're going with that too.
Exactly.
But at the same time, not every school is able. Some schools have a really hard time filling their schedule, and they have to pick whoever they can. Mm-hmm. You know, it's you know, sometimes I think even late into the summer they don't even know who their week one or week two or week 9, whatever it is, their opponent's going to be, just because, you know, it's not always easy finding a a counterpart on the field to play for that week. So
very true. I mean, you just mentioned Sexton had to go all the way up to Galen, right?
You think that was their first on their list of who they wanted to play?
Not at all.
You know, who knows? It could have been. I didn't ask.
If I had to guess, I would say no, though, right? Yeah.
And I would imagine there were just a couple teams that were still looking for week one opponents in June or whenever the schedules are being – I don't know when that happens, but and then they just happen to be introduced to each other in some way. Or maybe there's more to it. I don't know. But I do like that you always see the Holtz, the Grand Ledges, Everett this year especially. They're playing those good West Michigan teams. And, yeah, I think there should be some sort of reward for that. But I think also everyone is kind of arriving to the same conclusion in the last several years that – the six-win threshold might need to be adjusted in some way. And in some cases, five. You know, there were a number, you know, Williamson and Sexton were a couple five-win teams that made the postseason last year.
Exactly.
And so I guess that is based off of strength of schedule in a way. But, you know, six, it's a nice number to shoot for, but it also doesn't take into account who the opponent is. You know, maybe you play in a really, really, really difficult league, but you're also a good team.
It varies, right?
Yeah, you know, it's just like college football in a way. You can argue, you know, that's the SEC people complaining about.
I could go on a rant about that, right?
Yeah. a lot of people could, right?
Yeah. So tonight, Zach, of course, tonight I believe the full slate of high school football will be played tonight due to the holiday coming up.
Yep.
Of course, Labor Day is Monday. Can you kind of give our listeners a bit of a preview of what to look forward to tonight, and what are some of your favorite games that will be played?
Right. So we're pretty close to full staff. We got a lot of games on our sports splits tonight. I think 13 to 14 games are going
to
try to pack.
13 to 14. Yeah. What do you guys average? I'm curious.
What's that?
On an average sports blitz night, how many games do you average?
There are five of us. We try to shoot two each.
Okay.
So 10 is our minimum. We got to get 10.
Right.
But we're gonna get a little bit of help from our Grand Rapids station sending in Holtz playing over at I think they're playing at Hudsonville tonight.
Are they at Hudsonville? Okay.
Yeah, so gotcha. Hudsonville lost to Grand Ledge last week, and now I believe Holt is at Hudsonville this week. So,
okay. No, you're right. Yeah, they
we'll
do
see
play
if they can bounce back from a tough loss to Granville.
Yep. Yeah.
I think we talked about last week how I kind of map out where people go. Both Perry and Morris are at home this week, and those schools are about a 2-minute drive away from each other.
Oh, so nice. You can tackle both of those games.
Exactly. You can get one, two, and then get a third one. So someone's going to be getting three. You
know? Nice.
It's just a kind of a good way to stop off at places. And I like both of those teams to win tonight, too. So lots of touchdowns early on that we can show our viewers.
There you go, right?
Viewers.
Yeah. Because that's the key. You got to get a few highlights before you leave after the first quarter, right?
If you're shooting three games. Exactly. And it's a little bit different for non-conference when some schools from outside of our area are in here. You can show what they did, but you really want to focus on what your local teams did because, you know, we're trying to showcase football here in Mid-Michigan. So.
Preach on, right.
Yeah. But as far as the rest of the week, I mean, the big talk is obviously Grand Ledge at DeWitt. DeWitt, man, that Grand Rapids Christian team, the more I've heard about them over the last week following the loss, seems to be a pretty legitimate team. And DeWitt hung with them for a long time. So a couple days ago, if you asked me, I would have said Grand Ledge is a couple touchdown favorite. But the more and more I think about it, and the more – I mean, it's Rob Zimmerman.
They're
team,
always
right?
competitive. The Panthers are competitive every year.
I think that's going to be a lot closer than some people like myself a few days ago thought.
Right.
And then the other intriguing matchup is Portland at Sexton. A couple 1-0 teams. Portland struggled a little bit with Ovid LC last week. They got out to a big lead, and then they didn't score much late, but they were still able to hold on for the win over Ovid LC. And I think I mentioned, too, that they're dealing with they get pretty much all of their line back from last year, but aside from their quarterback, they've got all new skill position guys. So they're kind of building and building. Portland's one of those teams that always starts at like a pretty high level but is always getting better as the season goes
on. Always improving week by week, right?
And so you know, a lot of people are on board with Sexton this year. They got a lot of guys back, and if I mentioned with Cody Blankenberg, if he's back on the field, he creates such a problem for other teams. Just shifty, speedy,
for sure.
Yeah, so that'll be another big one tonight. And then a lot of games. Because it's all on one day. It's all on one night, man.
It's certainly a busy night. Isaac and myself, we will be at DeWitt High School to cover the big matchup between the Grand Ledge Comets and the DeWitt Panthers. Last year, we saw Grand Ledge top DeWitt 28-21, I believe, the final of that one in week two. And, you know, you look at this Grand Ledge team, they've won their division these last two seasons. But again, DeWitt is always competitive every single season. And for you, like you just mentioned, Zach, to look at that week one game for DeWitt. And when I saw a loss come across your screen that night when you were doing games, I said,
strange,
oh my
isn't it?
That was very strange. I'm saying, oh my goodness, they must have played a really, really good Grand Rapids Christian team. And like you said, I've been hearing the same thing. That Grand Rapids Christian team is very stout. So for this game tonight, I mean, that's what everybody's buzzing about. And I do believe that the Portland and Sexton game is going to be a really good one as well. But for Grand Legend DeWitt, what do you think are the keys tonight? And maybe a few players to look for. You mentioned, you know, Bird for Grand Ledge. He's always fun to watch.
Yeah, one of the best quarterbacks in the area. I just want to give a quick note, props, if you will, to DeWitt, because they are one of those teams, what we were talking about, that always schedules those tough ones. You remember a couple years ago, they went up to Menominee.
Yes.
And they played Menominee, who's a perennial power and always very, very, very good. So they're always playing. They kind of, I don't want to say they have that luxury because they earn what they win, but they win all the time. So I feel like they feel they can afford to play some of those very good teams early on, and it pays off for them a lot of times. So that's
kind of like
they
the Tom Izzo men's basketball schedule,
yeah,
right?
Exactly. Yeah,
you know,
especially
the big dogs
year,
first.
Right?
Yeah, especially last year.
Duke,
you schedule the big dogs and then just constantly get better from that as the year moves
along. So they're not typically worried about that 6-win threshold. So that's DeWitt and that's Rob Zimmerman, and they're always going to be good. But as far as tonight's game, I don't have a whole lot to go off of on DeWitt. Not sure totally what to expect. I believe they were playing with their backup quarterback last week. I'm not sure if that's going to be true again tonight.
Right.
But Grand Ledge, another name I mentioned last week, Jacob Umholtz. He's a running back. He seems powerful. I believe he's a senior now. But in our highlight tape, man, he's got breakaway speed too. And that was against Hudsonville, who's always a talented team too. So, but Nolan Bird, by my eyes, seems to be one of the best quarterbacks in the area. And he was right on that cusp last year too. Or he was, now that he's a senior and this will be his third year on varsity.
Definitely.
He's got poise and he can throw it. And I think he makes good decisions too. But again, that's based off what I saw from last year. I haven't seen, I wasn't at that game this last week. But based on our highlights and what I know of that team, I think I still give the Grand Ledge the edge in that.
Right. Well, I do too. I'm going with Grand Ledge as well, but I think it's going to be really. I wouldn't be surprised.
It'll
if DeWitt,
be close. It should be close.
It should be very close. I mean, we talked before the show. You will be sending your best photog out to that game, right? To cover that one. But getting right back to it, Zach. I want to close out the high school conversation here, and I want you to weigh in on your thoughts on this weekend's Michigan State and Bowling Green game as well. Just brief thoughts on the opening game for Michigan State. Brian Lewerke, of course, making his first official start of the season for the program. What do you think about this year's Michigan State football team? I mean, what are your concerns and how, because I think I gave my prediction, I think last week, I think it was, and I said seven wins for this team.
I said that too.
Okay. So you're going with 7 wins as well, Zach, but what are your question marks for this team? What are you going to be really looking at this upcoming year?
We'll find out a good deal this Saturday against Bowling Green. But at the same time, if you remember, Furman was in here last year, and they kind of not disguised, but they didn't put all their stuff out there last year, so it seemed.
Right.
I would much rather they quote-unquote show their hand this year. If they did that last year or didn't do that last year, I guess I really don't know in retrospect, but I would love them to really, really put the hammer down, because that small win over Furman last year left a lot of doubt. I'd love to see it.
You want to see a convincing victory.
I want to see a 30-point win. You know, Bowling Green is, if you look at some of the preseason Athlon rankings for whatever you take those for, Bowling Green is ahead of, out of all of the D1 schools, you know, maybe about 15 teams they're ahead of. And I know it's just rankings and preseason, that sort of thing, but it's based off of who's returning and skill sets and that sort of stuff. So I think they need to win big. All eyes are going to be on Brian Lewerke still, because – it's finally his team. We saw him a little bit last year. I don't think the injury is a concern anymore. All the players really, really, really seem to respect him. I was surprised that the Spartans went with two captains and not four. I thought Gerald Holmes would be in there, and I thought Brian Lewerke would be as well.
Right.
And
they're on the Eagle Council, but still, they're not named captains, right?
Yeah. So, but you got to trust Antonio with the two. I think you got one on either side of the ball. You got one captain on either side of the ball. And I think the team knows who the leaders are, and that's That's Brian Lewerke. You've talked with him. You know, I mean, man, is he poised, and he's
he comes off, and he's only a sophomore. He comes off. I mean, he exudes leadership.
Yeah.
You know, you talk to him, he's confident. He just has that quarterback swag, doesn't he?
Yeah, I think so. And the quarterback hair, too, which is nice.
Yeah, oh, for sure. The hair. I mean, there's a lot of interesting hairdos on this 2017 Michigan State football team.
Right. We don't get to see too much of him in practice just because it's closed off. But
right.
Everything we hear, and it's early season talk, but I think he is or can be the real deal. I'm excited about him. The offensive line, we saw, you know, we got the two deep depth chart back on Tuesday. It was pretty much what we expected. I think there was a couple ones. I think people were expecting Josiah Scott, the true freshman, to be a starter at corner.
Mm-hmm.
He'll be a backup, it appears, and. Let's see, was it Matt Morrissey will be starting at safety opposite Kari Willis and not,
mm-hmm.
not David Dowell or Grayson Miller. So, but I mean, they're all going to see field time. We'll find out this weekend, you know?
Yeah,
I think there's
a few lines we can draw when we see how this team looks first time on the field. So.
I think they've got a hammer, though. They can't, they can't leave doubt in their players' minds or their fans' minds in this week one like they did in Furman. Not saying that indicated how their season went,
right?
But it'd be much better to get off to a much better.
It'll be good to see a convincing victory.
Convincing,
right?
There's the word, yeah.
Zach Berridge, WILX TV 10 sports reporter and anchor and co-host of the Sports Blitz. What you can see tonight? What time, Zach?
That's at 11:14 and 32 seconds.
Zach Berridge, thank you so much. And hey, you were very specific with that 42 seconds, right? I like that.
Yeah, as long as we're on time, we'll be on. So set the DVR or check us out. We'll be up on WILX.com by the midnight hour as well.
You guys are doing a great job. Zach, thank you so much for your time.
So.
All right, to close out the show, we have just under 2 minutes. So I want to remind you all that Big Ten football officially gets underway tonight. Ohio State and Indiana can be seen on ESPN at 8 p.m. And you can also watch Oklahoma State take on Tulsa. That will be viewed on Fox Sports 1 at 7:30 p.m. Also, the Lions and Bills, the final, thank goodness, the final preseason game for the Detroit Lions. The Lions will have that 53-man roster set by 4 p.m. on Saturday. So you'll see a lot of backups today. You know, I think you won't see Matthew Stafford. I wouldn't even start the guy if I'm the Lions, Isaac. I'm throwing in, you know, Rudock or Kaya. They don't need to see a dude out there play. If you just gave him a contract, it is the richest in the NFL. So you'll see a lot of backup quarterbacks today, I think, Isaac.
Couldn't agree more, and that's the thing. This has been such an unusually dangerous preseason, too, it seems like, with Edelman going down, Hyder going down, many more across the league. Don't play Stafford tonight. Come on.
Yeah,
be simple.
Exactly. Well, and we'll highlight how that game pans out on tomorrow's Current Sports, of course, and we will also invite to the show James Moore, assistant coach for the DeWitt High School football team. And, of course, he will recap what will take place tonight. And, of course, James Moore, former MSU football great. Thanks so much for listening, and thanks to Zach Berridge for being a part of the show. Same time, same place tomorrow. Be easy, people.